Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. There you'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, whether it be heart health, immune support, and much more. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll also receive 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details and to take advantage of these special offers, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again, anticipating spring. We're doing our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And Layla, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Looking forward to spring.
Indeed.
How are you?
I'm doing okay, and I'm looking forward to some more outdoor runs.
Yeah.
Because I've been a little bit fenced in, and my... If there is such a word, in contrast to decrepitude, my intrepidity has decreased a little bit this winter, and I haven't been running outside for a long time.
It's hard in the cold weather,
yeah.
Too.
And the few nice days that we've had,
yeah.
I was busy, so I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I've been running inside and looking, but you know, kind of gearing up. You know, I was in the park. There's some forsythia. You know, that's a good sign of spring.
Yeah.
And we're here to answer your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Okay, kiddies, what month is this?
National Nutrition Month. It's
what?
March.
Why, yes. It's National Nutrition Month.
Right.
Yeah. So what's that all about? Because it's I think it's you guys who are... Are you part of the ADA or the American Dietetics Association?
Well, yeah, I kind of am because I'm kind of forced to be to take advantage of some of their benefits in terms of access.
As a registered dietitian.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but you know...
They have some good articles. So what's that all about? What are they...
It's all about pushing good nutrition, mm-hmm. being healthy and fit, mm-hmm. choosing wisely, and all of that, mm-hmm. all across the lifespan. From
sponsored by
infant to
Monsanto and
who knows?
General Mills and the American Dairy Association.
Right.
And
you know, I have to confess, I've never been to the yearly FENCE conference, which is the Food and Nutrition Conference Expo, mm-hmm. because I don't want to see exhibits of Mars and Nestle mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and Coca-Cola.
But I bet they must be very elaborate exhibits because they have a lot of money to spend.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to be a part of that.
And by the way, and interestingly, Nestle's getting out of the chocolate business in America.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
They're no longer going to be making chocolate or candy in America. Nestle.
What are they going to make now?
Remember, N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best.
Right.
Chocolate. You know, was that Kukla, Fran, and Ollie or something like that?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
I used to watch that.
Yeah, whatever. So some of our listeners are baffled, but for some of them, they'll experience time travel.
Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, so Nestle's has gotten into the nutritional supplement business. They're buying a bunch of nutritional supplement companies, including one of our favorites, which is Pure Encapsulations. Yeah, and several really top shelf companies.
Oh my!
Yeah, so
I wonder what will happen.
They're all going to be chocolate flavored, with cocoa flavanols. Now with cocoa flavanols. I don't know. I don't think it's going to change that much, except that the trend in this industry is towards consolidation.
Yeah,
and look. When you start a vitamin company, and many people started vitamin companies with nothing, you know, with like, six employees in 1983.
Right.
And it grew and it grew and grew. And now they have companies that are worth, you know, $30, $40, $50 million.
True.
And, you know, the end game is cash out.
cash out.
You know,
exactly.
And just, you know.
I think one of the first nutraceuticals was Solgar when they were bought
by
Merck.
That was a disaster, and they had to kind of, it wasn't, it was American, the same company that made Premarin.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So they had to pull back
from that.
And bigger food companies have been gobbling up smaller organic
brands.
So,
Well, you know, who can, I mean, if you dangle, you know, a check for $50 million in front of someone, you know.
Yeah, it's, might take it.
You got to be pretty, you know, shall we say, have great fidelity to your vision to not succumb to that. Okay, so the other event of the week is the publication of our book.
Yes.
It's not, this book is not just the book by Layla and me. This is a compendium. It's under the guidance of Dr. Andrew Weil.
Yes.
It's part of an Andrew Weil series of books. And it is called...
Integrative Sexual Health.
Integrative Sexual Health.
By Wiley and Company, who they do a lot of textbook type.
Wiley, not having anything to do with Weil.
No.
You know, it's just they do educational books. A caution, it's an expensive book. Was it going to be like $70 or something like that?
I think it's going to be something
like
that.
It's like a textbook.
It's like a textbook.
Yeah. And it's
but also one that lay people can read.
It's going to be used in naturopathic schools and in integrated medical curricula. So it's kind of cool.
Yes.
And also it's great for enlightened lay people to read because it's got tons of information. And some very interesting chapters on, you know, men's sexual issues, women's sexual issues. And we were tasked with writing about the impact of nutrition on sexual performance.
Yes.
And so we'll talk about that in a subsequent podcast because we're going to interview each other.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'll interview you and you'll interview me.
Yeah.
Okay. And
because we co-wrote the chapter. So
yeah, we co-wrote
kind
the
of
chapter.
Naturally
exactly.
go, and what
right.
did you say about
Right, right. So, you know, we're all over this subject.
Yeah.
We are by default the world's experts on the relationship between diet and sexuality.
Uh-huh.
That's a very niched expertise, isn't it?
It's yes.
It's very razor thin kind of thing. But that's, you know, what we're going to be talking about in a subsequent podcast. So we can also make mention of the fact that at Fullscript, we've uploaded a series of products which are designed to help people with a ketogenic diet.
Yes.
Can you talk about those?
Yes, I just actually uploaded
it. We should create a category, ketogenic diet. We can do
that. Yes, let's go ahead.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and
so
do that.
So that when people, you know,
when they look go, under, they'll know where to go.
So you can look under cardiovascular, you
exactly.
can look under
you
could
look,
cognitive health,
right.
you can look under oncological, cancer.
Oncological, neurological, weight loss.
Right.
We've got the weight
and
loss
And we should
category.
Have a you know, separate category for keto because
keto.
it deserves a chapter unto its
It does, it does.
So essentially the benefits of keto diets have been shown in certainly type 2 diabetes, in neurological disorders, Alzheimer's, seizure disorders,
and now cancer,
you know, we believe that in effect you're starving the cancer of glucose and that if you use ketones as a preferential fuel, it won't fuel the cancer. It's a little simplistic to say that, but it may offer an advantage.
That's it in a nutshell, really.
Yeah.
And what's offered now on Fullscript are two
athletic performance.
For athletic performance, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's the ketone, exogenous ketone salts,
right.
which are primarily geared toward athletes.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that.
You'll try that. There's the chocolate shake, ketogenic shake, the vanilla ketogenic shake.
I'm going to do that before I do usually a Sunday abs class and spin, and then I go to the weight room. And that's about, you know, a couple hours of exercise. So that should be an acid test for that.
There you go. There you go. And you'll let me know how that goes.
How it pans out.
Yeah. There's also the MCT oil powder.
Okay. Which is interesting. Well, and what's the rationale? First of all, I thought
it's
MCT
easy to
oil.
Carry.
How do you turn an oil into a powder?
Yeah, well,
that's
they
a
did.
Remarkable feat. That's
they
like
did.
Saying, you know, I'm going to have, give me some olive oil powder.
Right.
You know, it's olive oil as well.
It's olive oil, exactly.
But you can
exactly.
get the olive polyphenols separately, but not with the oil.
Yes, so the MCT fraction of it, somehow
I think
they powdered.
It must crystallize.
It must.
It's not really an oily oil like
Right.
Fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's convenient if you want an MCT oil. Say you're doing a ketogenic program for yourself and you're at work and you want to make a shake or you want to make, I don't know, I'd even drink it. I guess you can
mix it. You just add it into your beverage or into some water and take it like a tablespoon or a packet, depending on how much of it you'd like.
Could you make sort of a bulletproof coffee with
it? You can.
Yeah.
You can put that in there.
MCT oil in there. And then, in effect, it gives you not just the caffeine and the polyphenols and the flavor, but also it gives you fuel.
Yes.
And not sugar fuel.
Right, not sugar fuel.
Okay. So all that's up at Full Script.
It's up at Full Script. And, go check it out.
And this month, in honor of National Nutrition Month,
yes,
10% off and free shipping. What a deal. Okay.
Yay. All right. We had a question last week from someone who said, what do I do with all of my supplements so that I don't get overwhelmed? Should I rotate them? Should I stop some and start different formulations of others? How do I do this so I can live to be 120? Remember that question?
Yeah. And we addressed that in some more in more philosophical terms, you know, that you've got to triage your supplements and you can't take everything.
Exactly. It's true that your supplement regimen should also be catering to your specific issues, if there are any. And sometimes people don't even know they have specific issues until they go get tested or see practitioners like you and I and discover, oh, that's why I'm a little fuzzy or brain foggy or I'm a little on the tired side or something else is happening.
Yeah.
Or anyway, so with regard to probiotics, there's really no evidence to support the practice of rotating them.
Okay.
Maybe a decade ago, this was in vogue.
Right.
But these were were single strain.
Intuitively, it makes sense because it's sort of like we have, literally thousands of species.
Yeah.
And, you know, each probiotic contributes at most a series. I think Dr. Ahira's was, 11 or 12, something.
Yeah.
Something, you know.
And prebiotics, too.
But you know, just a mix.
Mm-hmm.
And some are single species.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is, okay, well, I put one species in, you know, for 3 months, let me shift to another species, and then I'll shift to another species,
right.
Then I'll maybe rotate back again.
Yeah.
And what does the science say on
that? The science is actually saying when the concept of probiotic rotation first came out, most formulations contained relatively low numbers of organisms, then it would make sense. If I'm getting enough Lactobacillus reuteri and Rhamnosus, maybe now I need Plantarum and Acidophilus and some other, you know. But now we have such high potency probiotics that we don't have to actually do that. So it's, and no published study has ever demonstrated a benefit from rotating the different ones.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. Has this been studied? Has it been looked at? And there's no evidence. I would have an open mind to that proposition. It may still turn out that that is a way to go. And also different strokes for different folks.
That's true.
Might benefit from that approach.
Now, the time to change over is if you've had a round of antibiotics and you're taking, say, Saccharomyces boulardii and you're done with that, you could go over to a different probiotic and so forth, or one for C. diff, if C. diff was a consequence of said antibiotic therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, as you're moving through the ages, as a child is growing up and they're 12 and they're over 100 pounds, you could start giving them an adult dose.
And children do better with bifido species, and then adults, we can shift. You know, it's sort of also, so much for, I mean, that doesn't speak to the whole issue of rotation, but one aspect of rotation, which is probiotic rotation.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Right. I thought that would be an interesting postscript.
Yeah. And we've got an interesting question here from Judy. She's asking about CBD or hemp oil. This substance has recently come to my attention. I understand it may help with reducing anxiety, with pain management from sciatica, and with sleeping. What do you think?
I think it's got tremendous potential.
Okay.
And we're definitely going to be exploring that in a series of podcasts. I think I've got two or three experts already scheduled for 2018 on that subject. And, you know, we'll be you know, going over all the potential health benefits of CBD. And also, you know, the issues related to its legality and the issues related to its safety. And the issues related to, you know, can you get busted if you're working at a job where they test you for marijuana?
Yeah.
And, you know, can it impair your cognition or anything else. But it is, I think it's going to be a very useful, consider it a nutraceutical, because it is precisely an herbal extract.
I mean, yes.
It's really in the spirit of herbal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And when you minimize the THC, you're not going to get the stoner qualities of pot.
Right. And that's not necessarily the part of it that's about reducing the anxiety. We have the receptors for
the endocannabinoid receptors.
Yes.
That's really
so
the buzz.
Very interesting
the
science.
Buzz in neurological science is that we have these systems in our brain. We have, we have endogenous opioids.
Mm-hmm.
We have endorphins.
Yes.
Okay. We make our own pain relieving substances,
mm-hmm.
and some of that comes through endorphins.
Yep.
And some of it comes through through the endocannabinoid system.
Yes.
And we make it, whether we smoke pot or whether we take CBD, we manufacture these compounds on our own.
We do.
It's just that we can augment them,
mm-hmm.
and support their production, because with aging, with disease,
mm-hmm.
Wear and tear on the brain, our production declines. Undoubtedly, that probably happens.
Right. I wonder how important this will be for pain management. Because that's an area, there are more and more...
opioid epidemic. And,
yeah.
Okay, so
could that be a methadone
okay,
for...
Okay, so I just read a study, because this is highly debated. And, you know, people who are on the side of prohibition of pot,
mm-hmm.
Say that, and, you know, it's a reasonable argument. They say, look, if you make pot available, people will start smoking pot. And then they'll say, well, I'm not getting enough high from the pot. You know, mm-hmm. let me try something stronger. I'll try some cocaine. I'll try some...
Because it's the gateway drug.
It's the gateway drug. That's the gateway theory.
Right,
and so if that were to be the case, then we actually have an experiment mm-hmm. in progress, which is the states where they've legalized pot, would we see an uptick in opioid dependency?
Yeah.
And so far, it's the opposite. There's actually a decrease in opioid dependency in those states. Now, I don't have any horse in the game here, because I'm not a big fan of marijuana legalization. I think making it too readily available. You know how it was, like, you know, alcohol when you were
in prohibition.
the drinking age was 21 in California.
Yeah.
Long before pot became a craze. As a teenager, I was drinking alcohol. I got a hold of it because older mm-hmm. kids are, you know, we'd get somebody to buy the alcohol.
Sure.
Similarly, with pot, you're going to get, you know, by creating more acceptance for it, look, it's not as if it's not available even when it's illegal, but
mm-hmm.
people get it. But I don't know. It's almost like condoning something that mm-hmm. could be deleterious, in my opinion. Because I think, really, I don't think kids under the age of 18... should be smoking pot, because it's a critical time for brain development. It's too demotivating.
It's very demotivating. Their brains are developing until age 20 or 21.
However, speaking to the issue of opioid dependency, there's really an argument to be made that we could reduce pain without using addictive opioid medications.
That would be wonderful.
Help to wean people off of opiates by using not just CBD. I think sometimes you need something a little stronger. CBD with a little THC to really take the edge off debilitating pain.
Mm.
And that's where, you know, marijuana dispensaries and legalization comes in.
I wonder how this will play out with anybody suffering from ADD, ADHD, in terms of turning everything down or something.
You know, it's certainly... There's a very high percentage of kids who have attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
And so do we really want them to be scrambling their brains more?
Mm, exactly. Well, those kids need to first be assessed for bad diet, poor diet, nutritional deficiencies, all of that, which would be rampant with a bad diet or a poor diet.
Yep.
So it's more a matter of elimination than, here, take this.
So anyway, back to the question. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yes. Pain management, sleeping, reducing anxiety.
And so the good news, and folks anticipate this in 2018, there are dozens of companies jockeying for position in this market. They recognize that there's a huge potential here.
Yeah.
And it's becoming, they're beginning to circumvent legal hurdles to distribution of this, making it available on the internet, mm-hmm. and it's going to be available. And mm-hmm. Thorn, which is a company that is no longer in Fullscript, but Thorn, if you can work directly with Thorn. If you call our office, we'll set you up for a Thorn account. Mm-hmm. Thorn, and we'll offer a discount to you as well. Thorn is offering a CBD product. And, mm-hmm. you know, when a big vitamin company like that...
That's due to be out this month.
Oh, great. Yeah. I don't know. What is it called? Do you know?
No.
CBD. I don't know.
I think it's something about...
I don't even know if they're going to be called CBD, because sometimes by calling it CBD,
right.
You invoke, you know,
it
sometimes...
Might be hemp oil, something
hemp,
like that.
You know, hemp plus concentrate, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it is... It's got CBD in it.
Yeah.
And so that gives more and more people an opportunity to try it. And I'm all for it because I don't think there's any great downside. You know, I don't think it's going to put...
It's not something that's going to be habit forming.
Like,
I mean, let's call it what it
it's
is.
Not it's not addictive, like, number one.
Marijuana itself is not addictive.
It's
physically.
It's habit forming.
It's habit forming.
People
but
get
not
into the habit of getting
physical
stoned.
Addiction right, like a heroin would be.
Yeah, right.
Or a narcotic.
Well, there is a phenomenon, a weird phenomenon of... When pot smokers stop, they go through some weird conniptions. It is not exactly withdrawal, but it is there's a syndrome that occurs in heavy-duty pot smokers. And I can look that up and share with people.
Okay.
Quick question. Is there one for this portion? Because we're...
Actually, we might have to... All right. This is about...
You pose the question and then we can answer it in part two.
This comes from Dan... I'm dealing with an overactive bladder and a lower than average urinary flow for someone my age. Mm-hmm. I've also got a little bit of low testosterone, low energy, undesirable changes in sex drive and performance.
Well, that sounds like about 60% of the middle-aged adult population, male population.
Right.
So what we'll do is let's address that question in part two.
Yes.
When we return, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman here with Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the place to send questions. Thank you.